Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
First and foremost, I always like to start with Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ears unto thy saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Hallelujah. And Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Again, as I said, welcome to FM AM, for men about men. Let us start in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for another opportunity. As the man said, ooh, we, another blessing. Another blessing, Father God, to praise you, to glorify you, to magnify you, to be excited about you. Yes, that is another blessing. Thank you, Father God, that you continue to show us every day, Father God, that you know the plan you have. Hope for a future, Father God, where we may prosper, Father God, and you will keep harm away from us. I praise you for, ooh, we another blessing. I thank you, Father God. You continue to bless us, Father God, to be on this show, to share your good news, Father God. Ooh, we another blessing. I thank you, Father God, for all the people under the sound of my voice, their families, their descendants, Father God, that you continue to bless them coming in and bless them going out. Ooh, we another blessing. I thank you, Father God, that you forgive us of all our inequities. You redeem us from all our destruction. You crown us with your loving kind and tender mercy. You heal all thy diseases. And Father God, you renew our youth like the eagle. Ooh, we another blessing. We serve a God, hallelujah, that bless our water, bless our bread, take away diseases from me. Ooh, we, it's another blessing. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, let me decrease and let you increase through the Holy Spirit to give me the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding to deliver, Father God, what you have imparted upon me, Father God, to share with the world. Oh, Father God, I thank you for this assignment. I thank you, Father God. When the man said, who are these saying? I say, Lord, send me. Send me, Father God, because our men need help, Father God. Our men need guidance, Father God. Our men need a model that models after Jesus, Father God. Oh, yes, Lord, we need you. We cry out to you, Father God. We are seeking first your kingdom and all its righteousness. So the things that we need, Father God, for which you supply all our needs, according to your riches, Lord, by Christ Jesus, would be placed upon us. We praise you. Oh, we, it's another blessing to come before the Lord and just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I'm excited about this. So again, let me say this. Today is going to be a different kind of show. Since you don't know what the program is about, FM AM, I'm going to go through that, and I'm going to show you where it's scripture based, and give you an overview, because as we move forward, I'll be coming on every other Thursday, and I'll be sharing a lot about what we as men need to learn. So I tell everybody, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, let everybody know if they got a boy. Basically, with the Jewish community, when they have the bar mitzvah, where they start at 13, we'll work it from there and move forward right on to the Methuselah age. Hallelujah. We want to get this out because we want to be the difference that makes a difference. We want to see our men leading our young men, and our young men leading our teenagers, and our teenagers leading the adolescents. Father God, we want to see them. We want to see them out there being the model of Christ. Hallelujah. So I'm excited about this. But you know, I like to give a few quotes. And one of the quotes is by Albert Einstein. Try not to become a man of success, but rather to become a man of value. Yes, become a man of value, that you have purpose, that people recognize. When you walk in the door, your value is beaming like the shining sun. Hallelujah. And then the next one is, being a male is a matter of birth. Being a man is a matter of age, but being a gentleman is a matter of choice. Oh, you know, the old school men used to open the door, and they used to throw their handkerchief on the ground, the mud, and they would use, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. And that's kind of getting old news now, but I'm old school, so I still try to maintain it. But being a gentleman is so important because, again, you break the two words, that you are a gentleman. Isn't that one of the fruits? Love, kindness, and gentleness. Hallelujah. Then the next one, Martin Luther King said, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in the moment of comfort, oh no, and convenience, but where he stands at the time of challenges and controversy. Oh, we're going to be tested as we try to evolve, and I know this personally. As I try to evolve spiritually in my maturity, my body is always trying to keep me immature. And there's always that test, that challenge, and I have to admit, sometimes I don't always pass the test, but I'm like a good student. Anytime I get knocked off a horse, I leap back on them. They can buck all day long, but I'm going to get back on, because my determination is become the man that God intended me to be. So this is your real test. When you step into challenges, this will measure where you're staying. Hallelujah. And the scripture tells us in Genesis, which I already quoted, 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And then Psalms 37:23 says, the step of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Oh, yeah, he gets excited. He loves walking in God's light. He loves following God's order. He loves being obedient to God. He loves serving God. Jesus said himself, I didn't come to be served. I come to serve. Yes, you delight in the way God wants you to do things. And then 1 Timothy 4:12 said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in words and conversation, in charity or love, in spirit and in self, in faith and in purity. See, we're supposed to be able to be the model for the young people. Instead of putting them off, say, you know, it's be old saying, if you're around the seniors, they used to say, be seen but not heard. But oh, it shouldn't be that way. Young people got a voice, they got ideals, they got creativity. Hey, Jesus had him, he was 13. But he knew when to speak and not to speak. But that is where we as seasoned men should be teaching our young men how to conduct themselves, how to carry themselves, how to walk by the Spirit, how to walk in faith, how to know how to conversate with someone. Hallelujah. And then 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spanked as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish ways. You see, as we move to mature into our development from childhood to manhood to become the spiritual mature man we need to be, it requires us to gain the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that God provides through his word to help us mature. Sometimes that doesn't happen. You know, I want to share a story. I always like sharing a story. This is by Richard Wright, one of the great novelist, poet, short story writers back in the early 1900s. And he tells a story of the man who was almost a man. It basically covers this. Dave Saunders is trapped in a world that, and this is basically an excerpt. Dave Saunders is trapped in a world that stripped him of his personal and economic power. Dave sees his life as a series of abuse and humiliation. He's forced to obey his parents, work as a field hand for pay he never received. He endures ripping from others and the field workers. His growing sense of humiliation derives from a social and economic force that keeps him from achieving his potential and pursuing his dreams. That sounds familiar for a lot of men out here. As Elder QT was saying about men in prison and the choices they made and the struggles they have and the ups and downs and the highs and lows. See, sometimes when we see the problem, it ain't the problem. You see, when you see people have a fever, when you see people are struggling in their physical health, for whether it's the symptoms of a stroke or, like I said, of the virus, what you're seeing on the outside is just the outward manifestation. That's what's on the inside. So the symptoms is not the problem. The problem is inside. So when we see the brothers who are addicted, or the brothers who commit crime, or the brothers who get themselves in all these kind of, if you will, vices that Satan sets up because they're not aware of his devices, then what we end up seeing is the outward manifestation of the problem. For you see, the problem is not the problem. And this is what was going on with this young man, Dave Saunders. The ideal of owning a gun thus becomes David's outlet, a way of quickly becoming powerful and manly. He believed that a pistol in his hand would give him more control over others. However, Jenny's death only limits his future by forcing him to repay Mr. Hawkins a price for the mule. Although accidental, Jenny's death comes to interpret as David's unconscious desire to strike out against Mr. Hawkins. Destroying the symbol of Mr. Hawkins' prosperity and power as the landowner, Dave may be lashing out at an economic system and a social order that he will always be excluded from merely because of his skin color. We can see a lot of the racism and the struggle and the people acting around and insurrections and things because people think they got what we're seeing here, the outward manifestation, that is the problem because someone looks at your skin or someone doesn't see you at an economic status or someone don't see you as physically attractive. You think that that is the problem, so you act out. But the problem ain't the problem. You see, yes, it's wrong when you see the outward behavior, but we go deep and we find the people who are the perpetrators, the people who are the oppressors, this much deep-rooted than that. See, when we know that a person does a sexual assault and these guys do the raping, what have you, the problem, yes, that's a problem in itself, but from the outward outcome of it, but the problem ain't the problem. It's inside, not outside. What's in a man's heart will come out. And this is why it's so important for us to teach our young men how to work from the inside out, not the outside in. But I understand that when I was a young man, everything outside of me mattered. Oh, I'm a dark-complected man, and back then, a dark-complected man growing up in the 60s was not what was happening. It was only to James Brown saying, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud, that I became a hot commodity. Prior to that, anything that looked different than me, I was put down, degraded, belittled, and it took a whole lot of love from my mother and my father and my grandparents to keep me strong, to believe that I had value. But for some, that's going to be the case. So that humiliation, that degrading, that belittling, that taking away makes the individual subconsciously hold on to this. And then we see years later the outward manifestation of they're trying to deal with the problem on an outward, from an outward standpoint. Hallelujah. So we look at, on many levels, the man who was almost a man is a coming-of-age story in which the adolescent David Saunders must overcome numerous hurdles to become the mature adult. Restless, impatient, taunted by older men he was working with, they believed that acquiring a gun within his adolescence and transformed him into a real man. We see this now. I was a part of the gang banging, you know, get you a weapon, put it, you know, put behind your back, you know, load it up in your car, you know. We thought, I'm a man, now I'm in control. Ain't nobody going to do nothing to me. Because, again, the illusion is devices. That's why be careful to protect our mind, right? We have to cast down imagination and thought to try to exalt itself against the knowledge of Christ. Bring it to the obedience of God, to God, and bring it to the obedience of Christ. Because Satan's going to work in the mind. You want to be a man, get you a pistol. Don't get you a Gat. You know, you need one of them Glocks, bruh. This way you know you can handle yourself. Though you're going to get big respect. but it's an illusion. It's a lie. He's the author of lies. He's the author of illusion. He creates something in your imagination. Let me talk about that imagination for a minute. That imagination is created by what is presented to us in these images. And today, young people got more images than ever, and now they have made and desensitized the usage of weapons. It's weapon the problem. Say, we want to get gun control. But gun control is not the answer. If you take your pistol, put it on your counter, and nobody comes back for 20 years, that pistol still will be sitting there, locked and loaded and ready to go. But unfortunately, the problem called the pistol or gun control ain't the problem. It's the person that picked the weapon up, just like alcohol. Alcohol within itself, if you go into the liquor store, the alcohol on the shelf. I have never seen one come off that shelf and walk over to me and say, hey, there, you want to drink? What you drank in the day, dog? Nothing like that. Nothing like that. See, that alcohol sits on that shelf because it's just an illusion of the problem. I'm the problem when I hand that man that $20 and I get that pint or whatever it costs today, and you get it and you go to drinking. Now, whatever the real problem is inside gets exacerbated because it alters the mind. Strong drink, as Proverbs would tell us, alters the mind. And once it alters the mind, it exacerbates the imagination. And then the thoughts start rolling. And then the given situation, right place, wrong time, somebody might get caught. See, so we know that it's important to guard and protect the mind. But we got to teach our young men that, because the man who was almost a man, see, he thought he was going to be a man because he got himself a pistol. He thought he's a man when he drives a car at 16. He thought that he was a man when he goes and he dates his first girl and he have a physical relationship with her. He thought he was a man. I'm a man. I'm a man. So he stands up to his father. I'm a man. I ain't got to put with you. But if I heard it correctly, again, when the young man says, I'm a man. Yeah, well, you get your own house and you get your own car and you pay your own bills. That's what the old folks say. He's close to being a man. So these are realities. So it's not surprising, however, David discovers that owning a gun only brings more problems and much greater burden of responsibility. Ironically, possessing a pistol actually would have ushered David to adulthood if only he had been able to handle the extra responsibility like an adult. Now, in certain states that I was stationed in, weapons is a natural thing. Kids get their first rifle at 13. My son started shooting at 15. He pretty much, he can shoot just about any weapon he put in his hand, and pretty good at it, and he's a bow shooter. But we taught him gun safety. We taught him about being responsible and accountable, and we taught him that weapons were only designed to kill. Now, you can target shoot, but the primary objective for weapons is to kill, steal, and destroy. They steal people's dreams if we don't make sure that our children are accountable and responsible. And using it, and we see this every day when young people kill young people. Now the dreams that the mother and father have for the children, as they're doing, I can't think of the gentleman's name, George something, but they're doing a case right now where he didn't use a weapon, but again, somebody's family now has been destroyed. And it didn't just impact his family. It had a trickling effect that affected the community. Now we don't have the community unity. It's been destroyed. This is Satan's business. And as Pastor Prophet Teresa always talking about, we got to be aware of his warfare. We got to be aware of his devices. But see, we understand that the weapon of our warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See, God's weaponry is different than Satan's because it's better. Hallelujah. Then because he had to work these 2 years to repay Mr. Hawkins for Jenny's death, the gun bring David greater commitment and obligation, the true hallmark of manhood. But Dave discovers at the end of the story that he really seeks to escape and not be more committed. He didn't want to be committed. He just wanted to be a man. And when owning the gun becomes a heavier burden than he realized, he chooses to leave, demonstrate even further that he is really not ready to become an adult. See, everybody want to be an adult, but nobody want to be responsible. See, I thought that too. I said, man, I can't wait to get out of this house. man, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to go out here, which I did. I left home at 16 and a half, and I've held my own ever since because of the grace of God. Because the foolishness and the shenanigans I got myself into, which I always say that God redeemed me from my own self-destruction. Because a lot of things I chose being a curious young man, I just wanted to know. I wanted to know about crime. I wanted to know about sex. I wanted to know about money. I wanted to know about hustling because they glamorized this. This is what I was bombarded with. During the Black Exploitation movies, I was bombarded with this. Shaft, Superfly, The Mac. I wanted to be all them guys because they looked like they had it going on. You shift it fast forward, the same thing going on with the young people. The stakes are just higher. The money is bigger. The cost is higher. But it's the same thing, just a different game. But we have to learn and teach our young people the reality, as we sit here in this short blimp, is that you have to understand that comes more commitment, more burden. Our prisons are filled with them that didn't understand the responsibility and the accountability that will become upon them for the actions that they display. So we understand that Dave went through some troubles and still convinced that a gun is more of a boon than a burden. He takes it with him and possibly invite more trouble for his future. And God said, let's make man in his own image. Becoming a man is more than just a few words thrown together to tell us what God's plan for man is about. It's more than just a short visual of what man would look like. It's more than just the preacher telling us what God wants us to be. My friend, it's the mirror reflection of God's view of what men should look like and what men will become. Funny, though, I don't recall in my life, and I was going far to say many men probably don't recall, anybody telling them that they had to be God's image bearer. I don't remember that. I didn't even hear the word, to be perfectly honest. I never even noted the words until I started really studying God's word in the last 10 years. Never really heard anybody mention the word God's image bearer. Never. That's just me. Now, I'm sure some people have been more fortunate. But if I look and I compare it to how many times I've heard it on my two hands, it's so rare and far and in between. And that's unfortunate because we were made in God's image and his likeness, and we should strive to be God's image bearer. So this here, what I'm going to share with you now is men becoming God's image bearer. And God said again, let us make them in our likeness, our image and our likeness. Becoming a man is more than just a few words. It's more about us teaching each other how to be what God wants us to be, how to become what God intended for us to be. If we strive to do to follow the word of God, we can become that. But we got to be taught that. The word tells us, Hosea, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. But nobody takes the time to give us the knowledge we need to be the best we can be. So therefore, we want to take this show and help each man to understand that God has a plan for us. He wants to make sure that not only that we become his image bearer, but we stay in the race to completion in order to fulfill his divine will and purpose. So let me tell you what FM AM's mission is. Our mission is to focus to help men to discover or to reinvent a livable working definition of manhood. Very rarely have I ran anybody define what manhood was. And you kind of get it vicariously. You get it indirectly. You get it just being in the space, and you'll get 1,000 different meanings of what it means to be a man. But you see, this allows, we want to help them to understand that we can be the best representation of God's image and to fulfill his meaning and purpose of what it means to be a man. FMAM's philosophy is this, that manhood is an integral composite of four quadrants, which centers on spiritual maturity, intellectual development, emotional intelligence, physical maintenance, for which we will do a thin balance as men for the improvement of our developmental system. See, our body, our system is always developing. Either it's going to develop in a negative way or a positive way. It's just the way it is, one or the other. There is no in between. So our goal is to help men spiritually mature so they can connect with our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, under the direction of the Holy Spirit. This is why I say, you know, now we're going to really get into some teaching down the road, but I want to give you a layout of what this is all about. Our objective is to assist men to be on a continuum of intellectual development that displays understanding, wisdom, and know-how in order to execute learned knowledge for their God-given assignment. Then nobody tell me I had an assignment with God. It was just people telling me to get the party on, get your groove on, have a good time, make that money, get that hustle on, brother. Make sure you got something in the bank. Make sure you can cover yourself. Make sure you have the nicest car, the nicest clothes. You know, meet the nicest girl. That's what I was taught. And truth be told, I was diverse enough to hang out with a lot of people, PKs, other ethnic groups, thugs, criminals, thieves. I've been around them all, and I chose to be around. So I'm not going to be here to perpetrate with anybody because I want to keep it real. Because one thing that I've learned in my travels, working with a lot of men, 80-something% of the population in the military is men, and I've worked with a lot of men, literally thousands of men. My name is on a lot of documentation, and I've heard their stories. And most of the time we put on this pseudo image. We portray to the world that we're in control, we all that, we know what we're doing. I'm a man, I know what I'm doing. But we don't have a clear definition. Just like I talk about on my other show about love, we don't have a clear definition. We have so many diluted definitions that we got nothing to stand on. We got nothing to say that is solid. So we have nothing to compare it to, because everybody, when it comes to man, is flippity. One minute they this way, one minute that way. You can become a great official and you fall. You can become a great spiritual leader and you fall. You can become a great entertainer and you fall. See, these are all outward things that we give credence to. Idolatry. We get caught into this. We might as well say we're worshiping the golden calf because we get lost out here. We get away from what God wants us to be. By FMA will help us to strive to move forward to learn and develop and demonstrate a high level of emotional intelligence that leads men towards a high level of self-control and stability of oneself. The prisons are filled with people that lack emotional intelligence and stability of their emotions and how to display it. But doesn't the fruit of the Spirit, let's get back to that. At the end, it begins with love and it ends with self-control. Hallelujah. But don't nobody teach you about self-control. If they do, it's a temporary thing. I'm going to whoop your butt if you don't be still. I'm going to make you go into quiet time if you don't be quiet. I'm going to make you go to jail if you don't do what I say and break the law. See, they've given us the punishment, but not the reason. The one thing that I learned with my mother and my grandfather, while they were whooping your tail, they would give me an explanation. I used to say, Mama, don't you just go on and whoop my tail and leave the explanation behind, because she'd go on and on and on and on. But I realize now my family's a narrative family. We talk, we share, we exchange, we break things down. We want to know what it means. We don't just use words just to be using it. But see, a lot of people walking around, especially our young men today, they have no clue. I mean, I look and half the kids can't even read. They can't even write. Well, you know that if they can't read and write, and the only reason they can count because they're trying to count that little money, but if you get too high in the numerical count, they can't go beyond that. I remember when I was a kid, I'm the greatest in math, but I didn't dislike it. But at the end of the day, I remember some numbers, and I became kind of caught up with it. And Tom Brown, who used to do the Black Journal, said that during that time that money exchanged hands in other ethnic groups one time. But in ours, in our ethnic group, it changes 4 to 5 times. And at that time, we as consumers were consuming over $1 billion. He said that $1 billion basically would look like this, and I've never forgot it. He said you could spend $1,000 a day for 2,332 years. That's a lot of money. A lot of money. But see, again, if you don't know this, if you don't understand, you can't get past 100, you're in trouble. If you can't read your basic fifth grade level, you're in trouble. So how are you going to effectively communicate with somebody when you're still communicating at a basically third to fourth grade level? You know, as we used to say in this show called The Beverly Hillbillies, and I think Jethro Bodine graduated. He didn't graduate. He finished school in the fifth grade, and they would get so excited. The grandparents would get so excited and say, go on and decipher. And he would He would give the 1 + 1, 2 + 2, and all they thought that was something. Probably was back then because a lot of people didn't finish education. But today there's no excuse. You could push a button and get any kind of information you want. They got more tutorials and everything. But we don't teach that. Tutor things that are inappropriate. We tutor things that a kid, I see kids 5 and 6 can navigate through a phone like never before. But I can see that same kid and they excel up, so I've lived long enough and watched them become teenagers, and again, they can't write a paragraph. Fascinating. See, but this is why the purpose of FAM is to help us to mature. So we want to help men to develop and grow. Throughout this program, I want to be able to present a way of providing ongoing resources for spiritual, emotional, physical, and mental maintenance for a healthier lifestyle and an overall well-being. Scripture tells us in Ephesians 5:1-2, therefore, be an imitator of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice to God. What is FMAM's vision? Is to create a working environment where men develop to become brothers and friends that respectfully treat one another as though they are their brother's keeper. FMAM's objective is to assist each man to find their balance in the four quadrants so that men will evolve to get back to the original purpose of God, what God intended for us to be, which is for us to be wise stewards, protectors, preservers, who become disciples that share the gospel to the world. That's our mission. Well, as men, we become mentors to our boys, disciples to our young men, and supporters to our mature male population to ensure that each man moves towards his fullest potential for our family, our community, and our world at large. You know, I remember when I presented this to the SBA, they said, well, won't you narrow it down a little bit? Why don't you know you can't do all that? I said, I understand I can't do all that in a day. I didn't make the world in a day. You know, if God was sitting down with the representative of the SBA and said, I'm going to make the world in 6 days and I'm going to create everything on the sun, they probably would look at him like they look at me and say, look here, God, you know, that's kind of big. What do you mean you can create all the creatures and the bugs and the ants and the butterflies and the elephants? Won't you narrow it down a little bit? But see, God do big things because God take ordinary and do extraordinary. That's what we're talking about. We want to see a change. We want to see a change that be the difference that makes a difference. What's our values? Our values are spiritual maturity, emotional discipline, integrity on a continuum, respect the self and others, social accountability, and servant leadership. That is what it's about. So again, nobody took the time to teach me this when I was a kid. And as I moved through the military, I went in the military very early. I graduated high school at 16 and a half. I went to college for a year, then I joined the military. When I joined the military, it was a shock forever and a day, and I can always remember it. But those men, those Vietnam veterans, because I was the last of the Vietnam era, those Vietnam veterans helped me to evolve. Some good, some bad, but overall they helped me to evolve. And why am I talking about spiritual maturity? Men have neglected the true source of power and provision. For God, who created man in his own image, has been pushed aside through man's human conceit and pride. Isn't that what got Satan kicked out of heaven? His own pride. But see, the love, as I talk about with love, it's that love is not proud. See, love is not proud. But our human conceit seems to lose sight about what love is. God is love. And this is what it's saying. We push him to the side. Therefore, during a sense of self-sufficiency and reliance that has totally removed God from us and forgot about that he was our provider for all. But we want men to get back to the level and develop spiritually on a mature level. The spiritual mature level. The scripture tells us in 5:14, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their power of discernment trained by consistent practice to distinguish good from evil. Ain't nobody tell me nothing about good and evil. They gave me a highlight, but they made evil look good. They made sin look good. And if I turn my TV on now, I mean, they make sin look good. So why do people struggle? Why do these men struggle? I hear right now that I think it's the governor that got himself in a pickle. Every time I look around, it's some man that got himself in a pickle. Well, again, that man was once a boy like Dave who thought he would be a man. And if he didn't get that strong spiritual maturity, a move to become that spiritual mature man and develop that strong spiritual foundation, then he could be distracted. And whether it's true or not true, because we also know that we as people, whether male or female, can be manipulative. And so, see, you have situations that get told, the story told down the road. It's like the old adage that says, if you tell a story for the beginning of a 30-student classroom and you tell the story at the first student, when it gets to the 30, the story has changed. That doesn't mean that the person hasn't fallen short, but it's usually always everybody's contributing to something. Nothing is out of a vacuum. But see, that's why we have to have that spiritual maturity. This is why it's so important. Philippians 1:6 tells us that, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work, he will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So it's important for us to recognize that we need that spiritual maturity so that God can bring his mission and what he designed in us to completion. But we get distracted. I got distracted. I think about, man, if I just had this strong foundation based on my will, but see, my free will, my human conceit got me in trouble. It got me in trouble. It got me off the beaten path. Probably the intention when my grandmother and my mother said they were going to name me after David, that I was going to go and be a mighty man of God. But, oh, no, I did just like David. I went on down the road to do my thing. Love the Lord. David, love the Lord. We got no debate about that. He was a shepherd boy that took care of God's sheep. And we can see that as Jesus tell Peter, feed my sheep. But we as humans, we get distracted. And for men, it becomes very difficult because here's what happened. Basically, what we're seeing now is our men are becoming a disposable species. It's quick, fast to get rid of men. We send them off to war, send them on jobs that would cost their life. And then at the end of the day, nobody's telling them to build that foundation. And because they're just living life, as he was, Elder QT was talking about, you work two jobs. I was working so much, people, one of my buddies who's passed, I said, man, is this guy superhuman? I was just trying to do it all, because all I can think about, I want to get rich. I want to set up the foundation. I want to build my legacy. Cost. It cost me my marriage. It cost me my health. It was a cost, but nobody was teaching me this. Matter of fact, the man told me, I heard, son, you're burning down on both ends. He said, keep doing it, brother, because there'll be plenty of time for sleeping when you're dead. So he just fueled me up more. I was like, yeah, you're right. I'm going to get it while I can. But it costs. As I used to tell my son's mother, everything is a trade-off. Everything got a price to pay. Colossians 1:9-10 said, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of God, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Lord, if we had known this as men, look what it be. The divorce rate would be low. Adultery would be low. Abuse would be low. But see, we didn't get this. And for those, even I know a lot of PKs, they didn't get it because it was forced upon them. It wasn't done with the same kind of love that Jesus did when he looked over, instead of bombarding Peter and them, he went to show them by feet, showing them how to fish. And once he showed them how to fish, they could fish on their own, to the point they say, you will be fishers of men. So there's things that's so important. See, that's why back to my other show, I talk about love. Love is so important. So what's the objective? It's to help me return back to God with a sense of humility, a dependency that connects him with the Holy Spirit, who will guide, counsel, and mature man to his rightful place with God. But I remember a song that once said, what would I know about being destroyed if I hadn't lost my place? What would I know about his mercy if I hadn't gotten out of grace? It's going to remind me of the prodigal son, all his righteous living, all the evil he had done. Yet when he returned, the father received him home, gave him a ring of gold, put him on a roll, killed the fattest calf, and gave him something he never had, restoration. Hallelujah. Yes. So what's our initiative? What we want to do, we want to teach and clarify and model accepting Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, pursuing God aggressively, developing one's own personal relationship, coming to the world in the flesh, studying God's word and meditating on it day and night to get into the root of our heart, fellowship and studying with other men to better discern God's word in our discussion, growing in authority and God's power through the Holy Spirit, so we can do one, teach one, know one, and share one of God's word. prepare men for discipleship so they'd be spiritual soldiers, and then they'll send those spiritual soldiers out into the world to develop other fellow soldiers in the spiritual aspect. This is what we're talking about in Christ. Hallelujah. I know this is a lot of information, but as I was told, you can go to the archives and you can listen to this, but I'm just laying out the foundation, people, because I plan to bring it. I was listening to a show the other day. A friend of mine sent it to me. It wasn't such an appropriate show, but interesting enough, this gentleman has like 240,000 hits. I don't necessarily watch social media, but they sent it to me. So I listened to it, and I heard him twice. And this gentleman that everybody going to, he's critiquing, he's telling the women are calling for advice. But he's belittling the women, degrading the women, shooting them down. He asked the question, what do you look like? Well, I'm 5'5", I weigh 170 pounds, but I got a 25-inch weight. Well, what you rate yourself? Well, I rate myself at a 7, but without makeup, I'm a 5. He said, you're a 5. And she's still staying on the line. I call this cyberbullying. But anyway, she stays on the line. The young lady makes $100,000. She just finished her master's. He didn't give credence to that. He told her she needs to stay in her lane, and she can't get nobody. Since she wanted to get a millionaire. But even her was lacking the full understanding of what her womanhood was about. But these women are calling, and they're listening to him. Now, I don't know the man, so I'm not putting him down. I'm just saying that because of our lack of knowledge and who we are as individuals, we have men that's talking to our women, degrading them instead of preserving and protecting them and helping them have hope and build trust. We got men shooting our women down. Not all men are like that, obviously, but we got them out here, and we have to teach our men different. The same show, the same presentation, the things that he presented, he could have presented in a more gentle and kinder way. But we see this is what we're buying into. So the next one we want to look at is our rationale for intellectual intelligence and development. Intellect can mean and have many interpretations. We can range it from IQ or to EQ. EQ is emotional, to IQ is intellectual intelligence. However, developing one's self-intellectual requires that one spend time, quality time, learning as much informative, developed information as they can on a daily basis. Man's intellectual understanding is only limited by one's limited perspective of self. If you don't invest in, you don't get nothing out. So you got to put the time in. I read a lot of books. My library is extensive. And I understood that early on. I like reading, didn't let my friends see a lot of that because, you know, it was called cool. And they didn't call them nerds back then. They had other names for them. So I didn't share a lot of that. Now, you know, it's okay. But at the end of the day, you know, I kept it on low profile. That's a shame. But a lot of men out here, a lot of men are intelligent because we buy into the coolness, you know, the swag, as one of my partners say. We lose sight of the reality of what us as men are supposed to be, God's image bearer. So FMAM believes that men who expand their mental capacity will improve their lives over time. Investment in one's internal self improves one's external self. The scripture confirms this when it says in Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord give wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding, and all things get understanding. We got to teach our young men. It ain't always about being right. It's about being understood. Right, you don't disrespect me, people, and gun people down because of lack of understanding. We got to teach our young men that understanding is essential. It ain't about being right. It ain't about being wrong. It's about getting understanding, because your right may not be my right, and my wrong may not be your wrong. But if we get understanding, we can at least have a mutual reward out of this. It's kind of a win-win situation. Then Daniel 1:17 says that for these for you, God gave them learning and skills in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding all vision and dreams. Daniel saved people because he had that wisdom and that vision. You know, it's important that we need to adhere our senses to God's vision for us. Again, God said, I know the plan I have for your life. God's plan will lead us in the right direction. And Isaiah tells us in 29:12, they give the books to one who cannot read, saying, read this. He said, I cannot read. I don't know how many I'm with that cannot read. Can play ball. Oh, they can do the shake and bake real good. Slam dunk and do it all, but can't read a lick. That's sad. In 2020, you can't read. So our objective is to provide men with a want and desire intellectually in order that they can execute God's gifts and in a creative and positive, productive way that will enhance his character, display his gifts, improve his world around him throughout the course of his journey. That is my objective at AMFM, to make sure that you take the God-given gifts, the measure of faith that God gives us all, and be able to be the man God intended you to be so you truly can teach and clarify and model. Because this way, gaining understanding of being able to, our initiative will be to help them get understanding and what intelligence is and what intelligence is not. We help to help young men to be, men in general, emotional muscle, create a flow and intelligent environment that where the young people are trainable and teachable, help them to develop their creativity, all do networking and assisted intellectual improvement. See, we want to make having the ability to articulate yourself in a complete sentence cool. Because once you can do that, you can go anywhere. I've been a lot of places. God has been good to me. And I've yet to lack the ability to develop relationships, build relationships, that I can go back in foreign countries where I couldn't speak the language, but before it was over with, I could speak the language and go to the people's home and sit down and break bread. But you need to have these skill sets. And this is why it's important, as I talk about the four quadrants, you got to have the balance. If you ever seen a four-leg table, if one of them legs, that table start leaning. If one of the tables break, the leg of the table break, that table is going down. And we see our young men going down every day. And then there's the emotional intelligence. Men show little, no interest in emotional understanding and self-control over the course of time. This level of intelligence is essential for true self-control. Through the course, there's been model after model of men losing self-control due to lack of understanding of emotional intelligence or devaluing it, and it's important for true cognitive intelligence, spiritual maturity, and physical maintenance and accountability. So the effort for FM is to try to help men build a strong foundation of the meaning of emotional intelligence, which is to have a clear, better picture of self-awareness and awareness of other people's emotion. See, a young man would tell his wife, oh, go sit down somewhere. You too emotional. You get on my nerve. Why are you crying all the time? I ain't trying to hear all that. Get out of my way. Or he wouldn't go if he's hurt by something because he said something so inappropriate that was ineffective for her to really get what he was trying to say. So he said it in the wrong, cruel way, and he crushed her spirit, like that gentleman I was talking about, crushed her spirit. But once he understands how to emotionally connect to someone else, I'm using a female, if you will, connect to that individual across the board, even they're talking about most of the people that work in the workplace and things of this nature. Once they can connect, then you have the flow of communication that even if you're not as articulate to communicate in a certain way, because you have that emotional connection that you understand the other person. In other words, you have empathy to put yourself in a place. Now you can effectively communicate with that person. I truly believe that a lot of relationships and marriages would not be broken if people had a stronger foundation of emotional intelligence. The scripture tells us in Proverbs 16:32, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit, then he who takes city. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quickly holds it back. And then in Proverbs 18:12-18, there are those whose rash words are like sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Healing. One can heal the broken heart. We understand, but we have to teach men this. And then Proverbs 12:25 says, anxious is a man's heart weight, anxiety in a man's heart weigh him down, but a good word makes him glad. So even it has to be reciprocated. See, we can get that flow once we teach this emotional intelligence. Hallelujah. Let's look at my time here. So our goal is to help and relate emotionally by providing men with a sense of self-awareness that leads them to an ongoing pursuit of self-discovery, teaching men to accept that the need for emotional intelligence is equally as valuable as one the cognitive intellect, and is it more important than it would if they invest in higher learning and physical attributes. Most of the men we see run and they build their physical stature to be social acceptable. You know, you got to be big and strong, muscular, football player, bodybuilder, whatever the case may be, and they think that makes them okay. But our goal is to help men to identify their emotions and become comfortable with their emotions on how to control, present their emotions, and in essence, to find a balance to, for their overall well-being as a man. See, as I always like to say, if God didn't want men to cry, he wouldn't get them tear ducts. It really ain't rocket science. So how do we go about this? We're going to help men to develop in self-awareness, develop emotional self-control to self and others, help men to understand emotional connection with others and its influence. See, we have to understand that our words have influence, has an impact. It can make it good or it can make it bad. I've seen people take their lives because of what somebody said, the power of words. Did he not say what the power, life and death is it within the tongue? So we have to know how to do this. Teach realistic, positive attitude. We teach men how to have emotional ears where they display the ability to understand from an empathetic point of view. And they develop listening skills. And we help men to develop proactive skills and conflict resolution. Instead of going upside somebody's head, they sit down and they try to learn what's in the person's head. In other words, just like we build a relationship with God, we build an intimate relationship to know God, not know of God. Too many people are in relationships where the man and woman, if you will, they know of each other, but they don't know each other. And I always like to do when I'm sitting down, I'm doing a counseling session, I always start right off the top. I need you to write down what love means. I need you to write it and exchange it. And I can guarantee you 9 times 10, they're totally different definitions than neither one of them knew. Because nobody's taking the time to get to know each other, to really know who they're talking to. And that's the same with God. A lot of things that I'm learning now, I didn't know because I didn't know God. I knew of them. But I know him now. As Bishop Butler would always say, you got to know that you know that you know that you know that you know. Well, I know that I know that I know that I know God, and I'm still learning about God. I'm still learning. I'm growing. So the knowledge may not be at the highest level, but I know God in my own way that now I want to know more about him. I want to spend time with him. It's just like dating. The more you get to know somebody, the more you want to be around them. I want to be around God. I'm like excited about God. Decide to talk about God. That's what we got to do. So we want to get men to be able to do this. And the last but not least of the four quadrants is the physical maintenance. What's our rationale behind it? To improve the overall well-being of man in man's life, in order to preserve and maintain a healthier and balanced lifestyle for longevity, quality of life. We got men that I told the young people that I'm 63, and they're 8 to 13. My boy is 8 to 13. And they say, oh, I thought you was only 40. Well, I always prayed that my youth would be renewed, like, hallelujah. But that being said, I always do what they do. Because I'm able to maintain it. And I'm proud about it in a respectful way, if you will. Not a proud, egotistical way. I'm proud because God promises it. Ooh, God's blessings is right. He's not a man that he would lie. His promises are true. He renewed life like the eagle. But we have to do the right things. We have to eat right. We have to get our proper sleep. We got to understand about nutrition. Well, see, I like to teach men about anatomy and physiology, how your body works and what's in your body. I see people, man, my stomach hurts. Man, that's your intestines. People don't even know nothing about their body. They're walking around and they're depending on the doctor. Well, that's your body. Well, that's your body. But let's see what the scripture says about that. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Hallelujah. And 1 Timothy 4:8 says, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So we take care of this body to do the right thing, so when we build our treasures up in heaven, when we get to heaven, we'll still be intact. So, you know, yeah, I saw the body present with the Lord. It's a win-win situation, but we want to take care of while we need. Hallelujah. Then 3 John 1:2 said, beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. So we want you, as he was saying the word again, it says that I wish that all would prosper as your soul prosper, your mind, will, and emotion. But if you're sick, you probably ain't too willing to do much. You know, your mind is going to be preoccupied with your pain. And your emotions are going to be probably caught up in depression or anxiety. But when you take care of his body, you pumped up, you fired up. As we say in the military, you pumped me up. You pumped up to do what you got to do. You on fire. Right now I'm on fire. I'm pumped up. 1 Corinthians 3:17. If anyone destroy God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. So it's important that we make sure we take care of ourselves. And why are we doing this? For the overall well-being of the healthier lifestyle, which rewards us to be able to have the quality of life and live a long, extensive life. So how will we go? I'll be talking about basic understanding of anatomy and physiology, teaching about how the mind works, talk about how nutrition helps, or having nutritional food would either help or not having would destroy. The better the basic understanding of the muscle development and maintenance, and food selection, and personal opinion, appearance. A lot of people, their skin and things that they're paying all this money for don't have to be when you're eating the right food. I'm not saying right as you can get, because you know humans do some terrible things. So it's important that we do this. And then we help men to learn how to develop self-mastery, self-responsibility, self-preservation, self-determination, self-discovery. As you learn more about yourself, Arnold Schwarzenegger said everything that he learned, he took from the principles of bodybuilding to be able to go on to be a big-time action star hero, to go on to be the governor, and to go on and have his own Arnold Classic. He took those principles. A man could barely speak English, came here, and just ran circles around people to be here all day long because he had the foundational principles. And then some of the topics we're going to go, because we're going to bring it to closure, is that we're going to talk about relationship, basic understanding about communication and development, basic parenting skills, father to son developmental skills, father to daughter developmental skills, basic husband to wife, wife to husband skills, basic legacy training, mentoring, sponsoring, bonding groups where we can teach, this is a little more on the outside, and unity training for the community building. We like to say isolation kill, community build. So we want to build a community. But men need to understand that. Then we're going to teach financial literacy and effective communication. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let me see where I'm at. So bringing this to closure, I like to say I realize that this is a lot of information that I gave. But as I go forward, I'll be breaking all these things down throughout the weeks. And hopefully this will be beneficial to everyone. As Rick Warren would say, the whole focus is to have a purpose-driven life with a strong foundation, where your foundation will be based on the four quadrants: emotionally, physically, spiritually, and intellectually. So you'll be sound in all that you do. But as I bring this to a closure, nothing matters if we don't do any of this. If we can do all this, but if we don't do this in love, it's all for naught. But what is love all about? It's the love that Jesus showed us when he gave of his life for us. He died so we could be saved. So if you don't know nothing about the Romans 10:9 said that we declare what I'm about to Jesus, Lord, and believe in our heart that he was risen from the dead, thou can be saved. Because confession is made from the mouth. So we understand we have to let the world know that we believe and trust God. And this will show us that old things will be passed away because we become new creatures, and old things and new things come alive. In other words, we become a new creation in Christ. This is what this is about, creating and reinventing man. Because FMAM, for men, about men, is to help men really reach their fullest potential. So I hope that you would invite others to come to the show, and as I try to share some of this knowledge, this will help. I'm not the only one. I've met many sharing things about men, helping men to grow. I'm just one more into the pot, but I hope that I will be the difference that makes a difference. Again, we want to make sure that you don't forget Kingdom Builder Development Institute, Kingdom Builder, if you want to reach it by email, KingdomBuilderPlaza@gmail.com. And you can contact us at 313-593-9739. And obviously, please give, because it helps keep the ministry going. Pastor Prophet Teresa and Elder QT Dot is really working hard to help others to be able to deliver their gifts to the world. So give is being able to give. You can give at www.givify.com, which is givelify.com. Thank you. I know I shared a lot, but you can get to the archives to get the rest, but I'll be sharing a lot more. Thank you. God bless you. And as I always like to say, pray for me, and I'll pray for you, and let's watch see the greatness that God will do. Thank you for coming to FM AM for Men About Men. Have a blessed week.